Vicious Marina, Rav Shlita. Thank you. I thought I would find a couple of topics to connect to something seasonal. Tonight is Shavuos, Zman Matan Toraseinu, and we're also in the Shmita year, and at the end of the Shmita we're going to write a Prusbul. And I thought I'm going to connect these two ideas by discussing the powers of Chazal. Now, Kabbalah Satara is the most magnificent experience in all Jewish history and in the history of mankind. 7 weeks ago we were celebrating Pesach with all the wonderful miracles and recounting the story of the coming out of Egypt. But the miracles which took place were not the most prime effect of giving us our Emunah. Rav Yosef Alba writes in Sefer Ikrim, Siman Yud Ches, he quotes the Rambam in Yesoda Torah Perek Ches, but what really clinched the Emunah of Am Yisrael? The miracles were to show us that Hashem is great, but people might start saying afterwards, well, maybe it was black magic or some other kind of sorcery. But when the Bnei Yisrael stood at Har Sinai and they saw Hashem Yisbarach speaking to Moshe Rabbeinu, and it says, Hine Anochi Boy Lecha Ba'av Helnon, Ba'avor Yishma Omedabri Emoch, in order that the people will listen to you and believe in you, this dwarfs all other events. And he says, Rabbi Yosef Alba says, that we have so many amazing events which follow on in Jewish history. When Elisha did the revival, and Naaman had the Tzaras which disappeared, and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah survived the fire, and Daniel survived the lions, and Yonah survived the fish. None of these incidents were as great as Mamad Har Sinai. And tonight is Shavuos, we're receiving the Torah, and yet Shavuos, we don't call it Yom Matan Toraseinu. It is not the day of giving the Torah. It is called Zman Matan Toraseinu. It's the season of the giving of the Torah. So when did Matan Torah actually take place? So Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the Torah on a Shabbos. We came out of Mitzrayim on a Thursday. And we know that that was the 15th. Of Nisan, and there's an argument in the Gemara about whether it was the 50th day or the 51st day, because Nisan would have 30 days and Iyar would have 29 days. So we paskin halacha like Rabbi Yossi that the Torah was given on the Shabbos, and the Shabbos is the 51st day. So today is the 49th day of the Omer. Tonight is the 50th day, so we have Shavuos. But tonight and tomorrow was not the actual day that the Torah was given. The Torah was given on the 51st day. Work it out. If we came out on Thursday, the Shabbos is the 51st. So why is it that we're celebrating Shavuos tonight and tomorrow on the 50th day, but the Torah was given on the 51st day? So there's a sefer called Asara Maimras, which is quoted by the Magen Avraham. And the Asara Maimras writes, he says, Ki omnom chag Hashem lonu b'yom matan toraseinu mikra kodesh v'sof chamishim yom, that the 50th day is the Yom Tov. So how come is it that we had the Torah, because Pesach Mitzrayim was b'chamishi b'shabbos, it was on a Thursday, and we agree that the Shabbos was the day that the Torah was given. So he says, well, matan Torah was b'chutz laretz, it was outside Eretz Yisrael, and Hashem chafetz levan sidko, Hashem wants to give us his Torah and he wants to celebrate with us. So in honor of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius, in honor of the second day Yom Tov, which we have outside Eretz Yisrael, he added on or delayed the day that he would give the Torah according to Rabbi Yossi. And not to say that Chag HaShavuos is Yom Matan Toraseinu, that's not the case. That the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius, at the time that we have the second day Shavuos, that is the day of the giving of the Torah.
So there was an allusion
to the idea of a Din D'Rabbanon that the rabbis later on added. Meshul Sofek will say for the moment, although Shavuos is a different category, that the rabbis added an extra day Yom Tov for us to keep, And it was known at the time of Matan Torah that someday in the future this day would be a Yom Tov. And as an allusion to that day being a Yom Tov, the Torah was given on that day and not on Shavuos. So the Torah wasn't given on Shavuos at all. It was given a day after, on Yisri Chag. But it was known that sometime in the future there would be a special day of Yom Tov, and therefore the Torah was given on that day. So the Chasam Sofer asks on this in his Perush Al HaTorah, and he also refers to this in his Shadus HaTshuvah, Sof Siman Kuf Mem Hei. He says, first of all, Shavuos, there was never any Sofek, there was never any doubt about when Yom Tov is. The reason why we keep 2 days Yom Tov, Rosh Hashanah, it's the beginning of the month, and you don't know, because you go by the sizing of the new moon, whether you keep this day or you keep the next day. So in the end you kept 2 days Rosh Hashanah, and so we even keep 2 days Rosh Hashanah in Eretz Yisrael. But, he says, as the Rambam says, with Sukkos, there wasn't enough time for the Shaluchim to go out and spread the word that it was Rosh Chodesh for Tishri. And there weren't enough days between Rosh Hashanah and Sukkos, given that you also got a Yom Kippur and there's a Shabbos, and to get to all the places to reach of all the borders of Eretz Yisrael was at about 15 days. So therefore, Sukkos was given 2 days. And then later on the Rambam says in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, even when there is no problem for the Shaluchim to go out, because nowadays the Shaluchim don't go out, so why do we keep nowadays 2 days Yom Tov? So the Gemara in Beit Zadafei, Minag Avoseinu Biodeinu, Shoshomer Osa Minag, it carried on. Why, says the Rambam? Because of Pesach. Because we were worried that in Golos we will make 30 days, 29 days, 29 days, 30 days, Chosem Molo Molo Choser, and we will make mistakes with the calendar, and we will end up eating Chometz on Pesach. So in order to protect the Jews when they're in Golos, and to make sure that we don't eat Chometz on Pesach, we will keep 2 days Yom Tov, and carry on the same Minag Avoseinu Biodeinu.
Why are we not right about eating Yom Kippur, which is the same Isser of Kares?
The Gemara does ask, maybe we should keep 2 days of Yom Kippur. But if you want to volunteer, Gesundheit. The reason why we don't keep 2 days Yom Tov for Yom Kippur is Sakonos Nefoshos. It's danger to life.
Rise, the Yisr of eating a Yom Kippur and being having liable to curry, just like we said on Pesach, we wouldn't eat. We want to keep 2 days in case one of them was Chometz, which has got the same.
Yeah, well, it's true that the Kares is a spiritual sort of thing, if anything, maybe physical, but there is a more direct physical threat to human life if we keep 2 days on Yom Kippur.
That on earth, if the rabbis who make decisions when Yom Tov is, then in that case, if they say that Pesach is on a particular day, it should be on that day, God's not going to accept it.
How can you say
it might have been a day or day later, and that you're over.
It's true. We decide when our Yom Tovim are by going according to the Ri'iyot. And we say Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim, or Mekadesh HaShabbos. Hashem is Mekadesh HaShabbos, but Yisrael is Mekadesh HaZmanim. We decide when Yom Tov really is. And we decide when Yom Kippur is, which is our Yom HaDin, which is an amazing thing to think about. But nevertheless, notwithstanding that, we want to be sure, nowadays in Golos, when we're not going Al Pi HaRi'iyah, we're going according to Cheshbon. We're going according to a systematic calculation. And so Chazal were worried about mistakes being made, and for that reason they carried on the din of Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. So the Chasam Sofer writes that Shavuos never had a Sofek. Pesach, there was a problem of a Sofek. Sukkos, there was a problem of a Sofek. Rosh Hashanah, there was a problem of a Sofek. But Shavuos, you're counting the days. You're counting the days from Pesach. It's the 50th day. So why should there be a problem of a Sofek? So the answer is lo peluk. We don't make a distinction. And people will start saying, well, if I can keep one day here, I can keep one day there. So Shavuos, the Poskim say, is an even more strict thing about Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, because it was never ever Mishum Sofek. It's Mishum Adin. It's Adin Darabonah. And the Michtov Melio, Rav Dessler, writes in his second Chelek, on page 75, he brings the Zohar in Parshas Pinchos, Reish Lamed Aleph, that even though there was a Sofek, with Chazal's deep insights, Yom Tov Sheni became a focus point for Klal Yisrael when they are outside Eretz Yisrael, And for every single din which Chazal made, which we do know the reason for, there were other deeper reasons they also made their takonus, which we were not given the reasons for. And the mystics, quoted by the Ari HaKodesh, say that the idea of 2 days Yom Tov is the first day is the Sakin Panimius HaOlamos, and the second day Yom Tov is a tikkun for the inner features. It's like we have ourselves, our outward appearance and our inner appearance, but this is something mystical which I don't understand.
Don't confuse the red herring, that is the idea that Matan Torah was supposed to be on one day and it was moved to be the next day, and therefore we keep the date. It should have been kept on the day, it actually was kept because the sixth is the date that it was given. The idea that somehow in Chutzlaretz we're keeping the actual day of Matan Torah, as opposed to in Israel where the keeping the date should have been given, that's a red herring completely. It's not. A lot of people use that argument. You have 2 days because one was the day. It should have been given one was the day. That should have given. That's a red herring.
Well, we're not saying it should have been given on the first day.
That was the day it was originally intended to be given.
It was intended to be given on the day after. Yeah, there's another idea. If we say Yom Matan Torah, say the day of the giving of the Torah, then people think that's the only day in the year when you have to learn. So if we say Zaman Matan Torah, say, because really every single day a person should feel Kabbalas HaTorah. And so Dafka Hashem decided that he won't give the Torah on the festival day, otherwise people will just say, that is our commemoration day and that is the day we learn, and we won't bother learning on the other days. We should be learning every day of the year. Yeah. So there are a number of ideas which we can put into that. Now you have in front of you a Rambam on Hilchas Mamrim, which explains to us the importance of the Dinim of Chazal. So that when we accept the Torah, we're also accepting the Torah Shebaal Peh, and we're also accepting the Takanos which Chazal made. And if we look at this Perek, the first Perek of Hilchos Mamrim, the second paragraph, Halacha Beis, Komi She'eino Osek Haroson, anybody who does not then follow the teachings of Chazal, Ove Belo Sase, is transgressing a negative commandment of the Torah, which is a Din Daraisa. Shemayim, as it says, Lo sasu mikol davar she'agidu lecha yomin u'smal. Or min ha'davar she'agidu lecha yomin u'smal. You may not depart from to the right or to the left. Ve'ein lokin alav zemit ne shenitan hazaras misas bez din. And we don't give malchus because this is something which could be chayv misa. She'kol adam shemar divrem misosa v'chenek. Because if a person denies what Chazal has teaches us, he is liable to capital punishment. Shemar, as it says, Visha Sheyase Bezodon, etc. Echod Rom Shalom Do Osama Pi Ashmur Vahim Torah Shebal Peh. So this is to stress the importance not only of the written Torah, but also the oral Torah. Echod Rom Shalom Do Mipi Datom Vahachad Min HaMidos Shatoh Nidreshes Bohen. And this relates to the 13 Midos which we once discussed. V'nira Beinem Shadovah Zeh Kachu. And he carries on. Echod Rom Shosum Siyog LaTorah. And this includes anything that Chazal said which was a protection, a fence to the Torah, or the Fimash. Shashot Tzricha, according to the needs of the time, Behina Gezeros, Vatakonos, Vahamin Hogos. The decrees that they made, and the enactments that they made, Vahamin Hogos. Note this word minhagos from the word minhag. Even those things which they called minhag, we have to protect and respect. And the Yom Tov Sheni is called minhag avoseinu v'yodeinu. Kol echod ve'echod, each one of them me'elu hashlosh advorim mitzvah sasei v'shmo alayim. You have a mitzvah say to listen to them, but over al kol echod men, over below sasei. Hari u'ome al pi ha'tara asher yerucho. What they teach you, this is Chazal, etc. Kedei lechazek hadas, to strengthen our faith, or lesakein ha'olot, repair to the world. So, with all this handed down, I won't carry on reading the rest of the text, but we're going to come to another piece in a moment. And the Vilna Gaon was once asked, the eighth night is not really Yom Tov, it's not Sukkos anymore, it's Shemini Atzeres, and there's no mitzvah of Sukkah, but outside Eretz Yisrael, we keep the mitzvah of Sukkah to some extent. There are different minhagim, some make kiddush, some have a whole meal. The practice is not to sleep in the Sukkah on the eighth night. But the Vilna Gaon slept in the Sukkah, so somebody said to him, aren't you over Daraisa? The Gemara says, Hayoshem b'sukkah b'shmini, Loka, a person who sleeps in the sukkah on the eighth night, is over bal tosif, is adding on to the mitzvah of seven nights. And sleeping really is showing how you live in the sukkah. So he said, look, there are two averus here I've got to think about. One is bal tosif, which is an issur av and issur malchus. And the other one is not listening to the divrei chachomim. And if I don't listen to the divrei chachomim, I'm chayav misa. Therefore, if I've got a choice between being chayav malchus and chayav misa, I think I'll choose being chayav malchus. So that's why the Vilna Gaon slept in the sukkah, but the minhag is not to do so. So the Chazon Ish writes in Hilchos Trefus a very interesting idea. The Chazon Ish is discussing the Rambam's rule in defining what is a trefer animal. Trefer means that it will die within 12 months, that it's got some blemish, it's got something wrong with its health, that it will die. That animal is called a trefer, and you may not eat it. So the Rambam says, if you can cure this animal with medicines, is it still called a trefer or not? So the Rambam says, yes. Even though you can cure it with drugs, we still call it a trefer because it had already reached that state of being one that will die within 12 months. So the Chazon Ish writes an amazing idea there in Hilchos Trefus. He says that when God gave the Torah at Har Sinai, the day after Shavuos, he had in mind that whatever Chazal interpret in the future will be the way the halacha is min haTorah. That is to say, the Torah says you may not need a trefer. But the Torah doesn't define in all respects what a trefer is. Later on, Chazal defines what a trefer is, and that sticks. That molded the Torah to become the Torah for all time, the Torah which is midaraisa, the Torah which Chazal defined. We once discussed a while ago Korban Pesach, and the din of Korban Pesach is Ubederech Lohoya. And if you're Tomei, if you're Ubederech Rechoka, if you're far away from Yerushalayim, you don't have to bring Korban Pesach. You can bring it Pesach Sheni a month later. If you're outside a defined radius of Yerushalayim, and what is the defined radius of Yerushalayim? So Chazal said the time it takes you to travel or to walk from 6 o'clock in the morning till midday on Erev Pesach, and that's Modi'in. From Modi'in, that's the time it'll take, 15 kilometers, which is not a huge distance. With a car, you can easily make it from Haifa. With a fast train, with an aeroplane, Concorde, you could probably make it from New York. So the Tiferes Yisrael says that the din won't change. When Mashiach comes, that 15 mil won't change. Why not? Because the Gemara asks, if you've got a fast horse, are you mechuyev to get to Yerushalayim? And the Gemara says, uvaderech lohaya, you're not on the way, you're not on the defined 15 mil from Yerushalayim. Therefore, if you've got a fast horse, you don't have to rush to get to Yerushalayim to bring the Korban Pesach. So when Chazal fixed the rule of uvaderech lohaya, that was to stick for all time. So the Chazon Ish is explaining that when Hashem gave the Torah, Hashem deliberately intended that Chazal will mold it according to the Torah which he gave. And if you look at the second handout in front of you, there's another interesting idea. Because people will say, well, why is it we often in the Gemara come to a machlokes? This Rav says this, that Rav says that. Is that called Kabbalah Satorah? How do you understand it if there's a machlokes? Now the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, Shiloshom Shukot Tzorchon, as time progressed, and Hillel and Shammai came along, and people were not listening properly in their shiurim, and they heard different opinions being expressed, and each one justified what they were saying according to the Torah. That's why we have machlokes. But the Sefer Kuzri Sheni says that the machlokes is only on the minor things, it's not on the major things. Everybody agrees that we keep Shabbos on the seventh day of the week, and that you can't eat chazar and so on. But there's another dimension to this, which is relevant to our topic. If we look at this Ritva, which is from Erevin, Daf Yud Gimel Amud Beis, and you see a little line drawn next to the piece we're going to read out. And it's on the phrase, Eilu v'eilu dir Elokim Chayim. When Hillel and Shammai and others had a dispute, both of them were saying the Torah of the living God. We don't say that this one was right and that one is wrong. How can that be? They can't both be right. You know the one about the rabbi who has to settle a dispute. And to the first party says, yes, you're right. And then the second party says, yes, you're right. And then somebody else comes along and says, rabbi, they can't both be right. He says, yes, you're right as well. Now, what is the idea here? How can they both be right? Einu boda divilu kimchaim. So the Ritva says the most amazing thing. Shalu rabbonei tzofras. The rabbis of France, zichrono livracha, asked this question. Haich efsha. How is it possible? Shu einu boda divilu kimchaim. That both of these parties to the dispute could be saying divilu kimchaim, could both be right. Vze osim vze matir. This one forbids and this one allows. The teretzu, and the answer, kikusha'ala Moshe l'morav, when Moshe Rabbeinu went up high, l'kabel ha-Torah, to receive the Torah, on the day after Shavuos, heru lo al kol dova v'dova, mentes ponim le'isur, mentes ponim le'heter. He could see there, in Shemayim, all the different reasons of the Torah, 49 reasons, to allow something, or to disallow something. V'shala kadosh baruch hu, and he asked Hashem al zeh. He says, what's going on here? The Omar and Hashem said to him, Sheyezeh Mosu L'chochme Yisrael. He said, I'm leaving it up to Chazal. I'm handing it all over to Chazal. Shebechol Dor V'Dor, who are in every single generation, V'yiyeh Hachral K'mosom, and whatever is decided will be according to them, Acharei Rabbi Mahatos, according to the majority, V'nochan Hu Lefi Hadrosh, and that is the correct way of looking at it. But he says there is something extremely mystical about this, and then he stops. There's more to it than just meets the eye. It's not simply a democratic process where the majority rule and decide what the halacha is. It's an integral part of Kabbalah's HaTorah that Hashem deliberately gave over the Torah in what might even be described according to the Ritva as an incompleted format for Chazal to round off and to mould into the completed product, which is an amazing chiddush.
I'm saying that all the fellow people were given Sinai, not given Sinai. They were given.
The Shloshes Midrash, you mean?
All of them were given. Their fellow people were actually given Sinai. They lost afterwards, and Chazal tried to
rediscover what was given. Well, we have to balance this against the Gemara, which says that they were not listening properly in their Shia, and the Halacha was always clearly decided beforehand, but afterwards. Afterwards, when they were not sure how to paskin, then Hashem is saying, I leave it to you to sort out according to the Shlosh Esrei Midos, to the tools which I've given you, and you will then decide, Acharei Rabbi Mahatosh.
That's fine, but there was a right and a wrong which was given at Sinai, and that's it. If the Chazal decided differently, that became the halacha.
Yeah, but we still got the trefah and other things where Chazal was saying, I leave it to Chazal to define in the future. What is a trefah, or what is a derech lo hoyo? That's right. That's the implication. And what, can you see this phrase of the Ritva? Shebechol dor v'dor. That means even in 5, 7, 6, 8, today, if there is a dispute about something, and both sides are arguing l'shem shemayim, both sides are claiming that what they say is divrei Elokim chayim, and they have sincere intentions that it's the Shem Shemayim, then we say both of them Divrei Elokim Chayim, and unfortunately or fortunately, we do have machlokes nowadays, not only in Klal Yisrael, but even in Hendon and Golders Green, the Hamei Ben Yovin, and we're saying that each one is Divrei Elokim Chayim, but we follow the Pesach of our Rav.
That doesn't mean there isn't a sort of a definitive right or wrong. It's just a system by which we decide what we're going to do here.
That's right. It means there's no right and wrong. Yeah.
So there is a definitive right and wrong in Shemayim, isn't there? It's just that we here just have a system by which we decide what we're going to do by the
Church of
Midas, whatever.
Yeah,
well,
that's the words of the
Ritzvot. But there's still something in Shemayim which is a right or wrong. We may not have to do it here.
That's right. In fact, the mystics say that we paskin like Hillel here, and in Olam Habo we paskin like Shammai. So Shammai's also right.
It's not suggesting that Kapol actually decide that offer. They decide that for what we do here, but it's going to be finished right in Shammai.
Well, some might disagree with the way I word it, but according to what we've read in the Ritva, where the halacha is not known, or the halacha is not understood, then Chazal of any age will decide the halacha according to the principles, and that is what the halacha is, according to Shammai. That the Beis Din which decides, that the Beis Din Shel Mata which decides on halacha, that becomes the psak of the Beis Din Shel Mala.
Could one argue the halacha is for us, it's not for Shemayim anyway?
Lo ba Shemayim. we should know the story of Baba Metzia, where Rabbi Elazar argues with the other Chachomim, and they argue one way, and it's about the kashrus of a certain kind of oven, and he argues another way, but they say to him, look, you're in the minority, mate, sorry, and they say, we're in the majority. So he says, if I am right, the river will flow backwards. And they say, no proof. He says, if I am right, the fruit will fall off the tree. And it happens. And he says, if I am right, the ceiling of this building will start caving in. And they say, no proof. And he says, if I'm right, a voice will come down from heaven. And a bas kol was heard. And they stood up and they said, lo bashamayim.
What happens if you don't pass in the field of Shamayim? Nevertheless, it's still a definitive right in Shamayim, which we may not pass in like here, which may not be.
That's right.
Do.
Yeah. The halacha there might be different.
Chachomim are not actually trying to originate anything. They only try to rediscover what was given in Sinai. Sometimes they make some different conclusion.
No. Yeah, they might come to a different conclusion, but they won't be. But they won't be on major issues. They won't be on.
Given in Sinai was given in Sinai. We're speaking about things that were not said in Sinai.
But I didn't know my point. Everything was said in Sinai.
Yeah, but the kashrus of a microwave oven was not discussed at Sinai.
An oven, the Lakenite microwave oven were, and the square foot decided there and then, that's what you do with a microwave. We have to try and rediscover that, and we may have a different halakha.
Yeah.
And that is not the
other. All right. Let me tell you an interesting alshich in Shoftim. Apiyat Tarashi Arucha, and there it talks about you shall not depart from what Chazal teach you. And the Alshich says something amazing. He brings a story from the Medrash, that when Moshe Rabbeinu died, 300 halachas were forgotten. And the people were crying. They couldn't remember what these halachas were. And they were threatening physically Yahshua ben Nun, saying, you know, what were these halachas? And Yeshua was petrified. And he didn't know what to do. So Kalev managed to defuse the crisis. Kalev stood up and said, whoever can darshan these 300 halachas, whoever can work out what they were with the Shlosh Esrei Midos, will merit my daughter in marriage. What a wonderful promise. And it was his own brother, Asniel, who managed to work out what these 300 halachas were. Great. The people were pacified. But there's a very difficult question here. Why couldn't Yahshua just say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, sorry, but can you just remind us what they were? He had direct connection with Hashem. He was on the mobile the whole time. So couldn't he say to Hashem, tell us what these 300 halachas were? Hashem remained silent. Hashem would not utter a single word. He spoke to Yeshua, he spoke to all the Nevi'im, but he wouldn't say what the halachas were. Says the Alshich HaKodesh, amazing idea. He says, once Moshe Rabbeinu died, Hashem would not utter a single halacha to anybody. Torah Tzivalonu Moshe. Why not? Because if Hashem would say halacha to anybody else, even Yeshua, then other people would come along afterwards and say, God appeared to me and he told me that the halacha is like this. God appeared to me, he told me the halacha is like that. And this is indeed what happened with the Christians and with the Muslims. They said, I had a vision and I was told this and that and the other. The whole idea of Torah Tzivalonu Moshe and Kabbalah Satorah through Moshe Rabbeinu alone is simply to diffuse any future heretic who comes along and says, I know different, God appeared to me and he told me it's all changed now. So therefore, after Moshe Rabbeinu died, it was put into action that Chazal will determine the halacha according to the Shlosh Esrei Midos and according to the principles which have been handed down to them, and therefore there was never again going to be a halacha uttered by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The most fundamental idea expressed by the Alshich. Again, very shaykh for Shavuos.
So how does that stay with Eliyahu HaNavi when he comes to tell us the answer?
Because there may be things which Chazal nowadays will say, Teiku, we really are stuck. We really don't know how to decide this halacha. So we will wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes and he will then decide it for us, because we do not feel sufficiently equipped with Yeridas Hadaras to decide on that particular point. So there's no contradiction. Now there is a problem with all this. There is a problem with all this. Baruch Hashem, we're sitting in an Adas Shul and everybody is Shabbat Torah Mitzvahs and nobody dreams of doing anything heretical. But there are certain people nowadays, and since the 1830s and the 1840s, who call themselves the Reform. And they say, we are also Jews. Well, I'm not denying that they're also Jews. And they say, because of all these principles according to the law which they teach you, we can now decide ourselves what the halacha is. And we'll dispense with this, and we'll dispense with that, and we'll dispense with this, and we'll dispense with that. So how do we deal with that sort of argument facing us when we're dealing with the reform? Because the reform are saying, look, the Torah gives the power to rabbis of subsequent generations. We've got rabbis, we've got women rabbis, we've got the gay rabbis, we've got all sorts of rabbis. We can decide what the halacha is, and they corrupt the Torah completely. So how do we answer them according to these principles? What do we say? Now the common sense approach is, well, first of all, there are groundwork rules here and there. I mean, before you say whatever you want to say, if you join a golf club, you have to keep to its rules. If you're a Jew, you have to keep to its rules. And the first rule is that Torah is min HaShemayim. The first rule is you have to accept that the Torah is from Hashem, given to Moshe Rabbeinu to write down, and they don't even accept that. So the basic first principles are not complied with. But there's other ideas here. What we've discussed so far, and if we've got time, we'll talk about a few more ideas of Siyog LaTorah. Because everything which Chazal instituted, whether it was the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias, or whether it was other ideas which we'll touch on if we can in a minute, like not to blow the shofar on Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, or to institute the Prusbul, which is relevant to us now in the Shemitah year, all these ideas were Siyog LaTorah, to protect the Torah. What the Reform instituted wasn't to protect the Torah, it was to disrupt the Torah, to say we just want to be like the Goyim. There's in Greek mythology something called the Procastrian bed. Correct me if I've pronounced it wrongly. What was the Procastrian bed? That you have the fixed size bed, and if the person is too short for the bed, you pull him until he reaches the size of the bed, or if it's too long for the bed, you cut off the feet or cut off the limbs in order to match the bed. This is the philosophy of the Reform. So the Torah is the person on the bed, and they try and extend it or lengthen it or reduce it however they want in order to match the size of the bed. That's not what it is. So Rav Hirsch writes in his 19 letters, and the most amazing idea, he says, reform? Yes, of course reform. We should reform. We should reform ourselves to keep the Torah and mitzvahs properly. We should raise ourselves to the level of the Torah. That is the reform we should do. But not lower ourselves to the level of the other nations. That is the difference between the reform of the reform and the reform of the Baal Tshuva, who raises himself to the level of the Torah. And there's an interesting idea which one can also refer to, because have you ever noticed that the reform refer to the name of their school as the Akiva school? Now why do they put so much stress on Rabbi Akiva? Because they talk a lot about Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Akiva was one of the greatest Tanoi. But why do they talk about Rabbi Akiva? I once saw an advertisement which the Reform put out. And they refer to the story of Rabbi Akiva when he's explaining to his pupils the Tagim, the mysterious lines on top of the letters in the Sefer Torah which have dots on them. And Moshe Rabbeinu asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the time of Matan Torah, he said, I can't understand these tugging. I just can't clinch the idea. So what does Hashem do? He puts Moshe Rabbeinu into a time machine, and he transplants him into the back of Rabbi Akiva's class many, many years later. And Moshe Rabbeinu is sitting at the back of the classroom, and he hears Rabbi Akiva explaining to his pupils the meaning of the tugging. And then he understands. So the Reform right, Rabbi Akiva could know more than Moshe Rabbeinu, could we know more than Rabbi Akiva? And then they go and discard with everything. What the Reform conveniently miss out is the last part of that story. Because one of the pupils puts up his hand in Rabbi Akiva's class and says, Rabbi, how do we know all this? And Rabbi Akiva says, it's Halacha Moshe Misinai. This is handed down to us by Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu hears that being said, and Moshe Rabbeinu feels, oh, this is the Torah continuing, that it will carry on through the Doros, that Torah Shel Baal Peh shall survive because of Rabbi Akiva. And it will survive Hitler, and it will survive many future generations. That is the idea why Hashem transplanted Moshe Rabbeinu into Rabbi Akiva's class, to give him the message of how the Torah will survive because of Torah Shel Baal Peh, because of the oral law, and because of the Takanos of Chazal. and because of the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius. And the Chasam Sefer writes that what is this big deal of the Asara Maimrus of the Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golius? What is this so special that the Torah had to be given on the day after Shavuos? He says, because the whole survival of the Torah will depend upon the Takonos of Chazal, on the Siyogim which Chazal institutes. So there was a message already at Har Sinai that this Torah which you're being given now, it will survive through trials and tribulations, through pogroms and anti-Semitism and Holocausts. And how will it survive? Because of Chazal, because of the Divrei Chazal, because of the Rabbi Akivas. And that is the distortion which the Reform give to try and justify destroying the Torah. So the Reform will say, well, we don't have to worry about this gezeira of not blowing shofar on Shabbos. They don't accept it. They blow the shofar on Shabbos. Why? Because the problem of blowing the shofar on Shabbos is because somebody might come to carry. Well, they carry in any case. So they think, why should we bother? So they blow the shofar. To blow the shofar on Shabbos is against Divrei Chazal. And because it's against Divrei Chazal, it's against the Torah. And we haven't got much time, but I'll just say a very interesting, beautiful idea, which is brought by the Sefer Mishmeres Kehuna, Rabbi Meir Yechiel HaLevi, who was an Admor of Ostrava. And he says an incredible idea, because when it comes to the blowing of the shofar, it says in the Midrash, the Veshor Shisrael Notlinis Shofrei and the Tokim, at the time when the Jewish people take their shofar Rosh Hashanah and blow before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem leaves his Kisei Hadin and he goes on to his Kisei Rachamim. He leaves his harsh Midas Hadin and he becomes merciful. And he is Merachem on the Jewish people. He is Hofeich, the Midas Hadin, into Midas Harachamim. And that is achieved by Tekiyas Shofar alone. So he says, we are giving up the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah because Chazal told us not to take the shofar. This is incredible. There's a pikuach nefesh here. If Hashem keeps this Midas Hadin, we're all going to die. And he goes over to this Midas Rachamim, we'll be saved. So we have to blow the shofar in order to save our lives. So how can we give up blowing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, which falls on Shabbos? He says something incredible. He says the shofar is to remind us of the Akedas Yitzchok. And the Akedas Yitzchok was a pikuach nefesh when Yitzchok was about to die. And he says, by us refraining from the shofar on Shabbos, we are putting ourselves into the same matzav as Yitzchok Avinu, whose life was in danger. Our lives are also in danger. We face the problem of Midas Hadin, but because we put ourselves in the matzav of being like Yitzchok Avinu with the Zechus Avos, because we put ourselves in that risk of life, Hashem, because of that, gives us Kapora and Teshuvah on Yom Hadin. Because of that, Hashem says, I give you now Midas HaRachamim. Because you kept the Divrei Chazal of not blowing the shofar on Shabbos, you then put yourself much more into the matzav of Yitzchok Avinu, more than you would ever do if Rosh Hashanah would not be on Shabbos. And so the Torah alludes to this by saying Yom Zichron Teruah. Zichron Teruah is the day when you are remembering the Teruah, but you're not actually blowing. So strong are the Divrei Chazal. And then there's, of course, now that we're in Shemitah, there's the idea of Prusbu. Hashem says, at the end of the Shemitah year, debts are cancelled. You lend somebody money, you can't claim it back once the end of Shemitah has come. Hillel came along and instituted the Prusbu. How could Hillel do this? Hillel said, he didn't say we're doing away with the din of Shemitah's Ksofim. He didn't say that. He says, what you will do is, we will find a loophole where the debt is put into the hands of a Beis Din, and it says in the Pasuk Achicha, which is a singular idea of an individual, we'll put the debt in the hands of the Beis Din. The Beis Din can then claim it back. But the effect of it is, literally, to do away with the din of Shemitah's Kesofim, of reclaiming debts, that you'll be able to reclaim debts. Hillel was worried. Hillel was worried that when Shemitah is approaching, the rich people will not lend money to the poor people. And therefore, in order to protect the poor people, he instituted a Prusbu. You could say, isn't that the Reform argument? The Reform argument is, well, it's not relevant to nowadays, or nowadays people are different, so therefore we're going to turn the din on its head. So the Gemara itself answers this question. The Gemara says, According to Hillel, what he did with Prosbul was min ha-Torah. Why? Because it says in Devarim Tesvav, Hishom elachol pein yedavar im levavachol b'liyal, that you might say, Kovar shenas ha-sheva, shenas ha-shmita, the shmita is coming along, v'roa ein lachol b'chicho evyo, v'lo sitein lo, that you will not lend. And whenever it says Hishom elachol, it's a issur lav, it's a lo sasseh, that people will commit the lo sasseh of not lending money to the poor. And so it's not simply that people will be worried they won't get their money back. You will be committing a lo sasseh, and in order to protect you, in order to do a siyog la Torah, he'll institute a prusbul to protect a din of the Torah, of Hishom Elecho. An amazing idea, and that comes out from the Gemara itself. Yes. So I was once actually in an Adas Shul where they daven Mincha on Shabbos very late. A very choshev adas shul. So I went up to the Rav, and I said to the Rav, you know, why do you daven mincha so late? He said, well, we have a Gemara shir beforehand, and if people if people come to the Gemara shir, fine, but if I make the Gemara shir too early, before mincha, then people won't come to the Gemara shir. So I said to him, well, with respect, with the greatest respect, isn't that the reform argument? Because, you know, we're going to attract people to come to shul by making a compromise in halacha, and this is an adas shul. He said, well, yes, you're right, but I've got dais on which I can rely, because the Hasidim do daven mincha later, and there's the shitta of Rabbeinu Tam. So I have a source for what I'm saying. And if you look in the Shulchan Aruch, it talks about davening mincha until a quarter of an hour before nightfall. So that is the balancing act that I do. So what he's saying to me, this Adas Rav, is I have something on which to rely. I have a very good source. The Reform don't have any source. That is the difference. So when we now come to Shavuos and Kabbalah HaTorah, we can appreciate the Divrei Chazal, that it's an integral part of the Torah itself. And when the rabbis give us this, and when there is a machlokes, we've got a debate. And when we've got a debate, we got some enjoyment out of it, and we got Kabbalah HaTorah out of it. When Moshe Rabbeinu went up to receive the Torah, the angels wanted to threaten him and get rid of him, because they said, we don't want the Torah given to Moshe Rabbeinu. We don't want the Torah given to mankind. We want to keep it for ourselves. Moshe Rabbeinu was very frightened. They were threatening him. So Hashem said to him, hold on to the kisei hakavod, hold on to the leg of my throne, and you will be able to answer them. You challenge them. So Moshe Rabbeinu held on to the leg, and he said to them, it says, do you have parents? It says, you may not steal. Do you angels have the ability to steal? The Torah is not relevant to you. So there are many questions. Why is it that Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu to argue with the angels? Why couldn't Hashem say, look, it's my Torah, you lot, keep away from here, I will decide who gets it. Why did he tell Moshe Rabbeinu to argue? Because by asking Moshe Rabbeinu to argue, he implanted in him the Torah Sheval Peh, and the debate which we have in the Shas, Yerushalmi and Bavli, which enriched the Torah by giving a human debate to everything that is written in the Torah is part of Torah itself. And so as part of Kabbalah Satara, it wasn't just from Hashem Yisparach, it was also from Moshe Rabbeinu. And Torah Tzivalonu Moshe, from his words, we appreciate Kabbalah Satara even more, and the survival of the Torah is safe as long as we keep to the Devarim of Chazal and the Takonos and their Gezeros and their Minhogos. That's a good idea. But in doing so, we're holding on to the Kisei HaKavod. We're not departing from it like the Reform do. And we are holding on, thank you, that's a very good one, Shlomo. We're holding on to the Kisei HaKavod, that the only way we can really debate is to accept the basics of the rules of the club, that Torah is Min HaShemayim. Shkoyach, thank you. Nice one. Have a Chag Sameach, all the best.